So if the ideas of relativity seem weird, it is only because we don't experience these sorts of interactions in normal life. However, to turn to Budanis again, we all commonly encounter other kinds of relativity, for instance with regard to sound. If you are in a park and someone is playing annoying music, you know that if you move to a more distant spot, the music will seem quieter. That's not because the music is quieter, of course, but simply that your position relative to it has changed. To something too small or sluggish to duplicate this experience, a snail, say, the idea that a boombox could seem to two observers to produce two different volumes of music simultaneously might seem incredible. The most challenging and non-intuitive of all the concepts in the general theory of relativity is the idea that time is part of space. Our instinct is to regard time as eternal, absolute, immutable. Nothing can disturb its steady tick. In fact, according to Einstein, time is variable and ever-changing. It even has shape. It is bound up, inextricably interconnected, in Stephen Hawking's expression, with the three dimensions of space in a curious dimension known as space-time. Space-time is usually explained by asking you to imagine something flat but pliant, a mattress, say, or a sheet of stretched rubber, on which is resting a heavy round object, such as an iron ball. The weight of the iron ball causes the material in which it is sitting to stretch and sag slightly. This is roughly analogous to the effect that a massive object, such as the sun, the iron ball, has on space-time, the material. It stretches and curves and warps it. Now, if you roll a smaller ball across the sheet, it tries to go in a straight line, as required by Newton's laws of motion, but as it nears the massive object and the slope of the sagging fabric, it rolls downward, ineluctably drawn to the more massive object. This is gravity, a product of the bending of space-time. Every object that has mass creates a little depression in the fabric of the cosmos. Thus the universe, as Dennis Overby has put it, is the ultimate sagging mattress. Gravity, on this view, is no longer so much a thing as an outcome, not a force but a by-product of the warping of space-time, in the words of the physicist Michio Kaku, who goes on, "In some sense, gravity does not exist. What moves the planets and stars is the distortion of space and time." Of course, the sagging mattress analogy can take us only so far, because it doesn't incorporate the effect of time. But then our brains can take us only so far, because it is so nearly impossible to envision a dimension comprising three parts space to one part time, all interwoven like the threads in a plaid fabric. At all events, I think we can agree that this was an awfully big thought for a young man staring out the window of a patent office in the capital of Switzerland.